Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller, and so happy to have Roger Reynolds here in the studio with me. Roger is an innovative garden educator. His focus is on sustainable and low-maintenance gardens. His consulting firm is Infiltrating Landscapes, and he lives in Lone Rock, Wisconsin. And Roger, it's so good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So, Roger, there's so much to talk about, and, you know, it's kind of funny when the weather changes, all of a sudden it feels like, I might as well give up now because everything's going to die soon anyway. Or sometimes at the same time, oh my gosh, there's so much to do before putting it to bed for the winter. So it's a good time to be talking about a lot of the things we're going to be talking about, including mulching and composting. Let's start with making sure we all understand what your focus is. You specialize in low maintenance and sustainable gardening. First, let's start with low maintenance. What does that mean to you? And I have to say, it sounds pretty good to me, whatever it means.
Well, low maintenance has been a term in the gardening field for quite a while, for 10, 15 years. And one of my mottos is less work, more food. So To me, the biggest part of low maintenance is the nature never leaves the soil bare, and nature never tills the soil. Hmm. So if we mulch the soil, which is what nature does, we will reduce watering, we'll reduce weeding, we'll be feeding our soil, we'll increase the soil vitality, we'll protect the soil life. And when we do all those things, that reduces the stress on our plants. It evens out the soil temperature. So just by mulching, we can reduce a huge amount of our work, and then we also never till again.
Hmm. And so that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it the way you just laid it out, but it makes a lot of sense. The lowest maintenance system would be one that most closely resembles that what nature has been doing for millennia.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh. Yep. Interesting. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense. And so how does sustainable fit into that?
Well, again, when we emulate nature, nature's been sustaining the earth for a long time. So sustainable, if we're mulching with leaves or basically, I try to look for components for mulching that are typically waste products in our United States culture. Mm-hmm. So old leaves, I mean, every urban area, and when I say urban, I mean anywhere down to, you know, a village of 100 people on up to Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison, are about to either burn or export tons and tons and tons of leaves, taking them someplace to figure out how to stockpile them out of the way and out of view. Well, if we use those on our home landscape to create a garden and to mulch our gardens and to grow some food, as well as make our trees and our ornamentals healthier, they never had to be exported from our neighborhood. Then we didn't have to go to the compost site and bring them back to our neighborhood.
Right.
So we just reduced all that transportation. Mm-hmm. The leaves, and then we don't have to feed our lawn or feed our trees with a commercial fertilizer because this is what's already there. So from sustainable, so that's a sustainable part. The mulching reduces water. It reduces our work. It reduces our commercially produced inputs. So all of that, and plus we increase habitat for invertebrates and microbes and birds and worms and food for them. And so all of it is, again, emulating what nature's done for thousands of years. And that is good for our environment, for our planet, and for us.
So in a way, we're getting ourselves out of the way of what would happen if we weren't there in the
exactly.
first place.
Exactly. Looking to nature. And yet we're emulating nature, but also orchestrating it for our benefit, whether that be aesthetic or food or both.
And it seems like, as you were saying, with leaves starting to fall now, it's a good time to do a lot of this. And one of the things that you really promote is lasagna gardening, which when I've been telling people that that's part of the topic today, they say, did you just say lasagna gardening? And it is. It's a particular technique that you're a big proponent of. So why don't you explain what lasagna gardening is and why a lasagna bed, a pan of lasagna,
yeah,
why a lasagna bed is such a great idea?
Okay, well, first, yep, I've started calling it lasagna gardening or deep mulch gardening, because then the deep mulch puts people, when people hear lasagna gardening, they think back to the pizza gardens of 10 years ago at schools, and they think we're going to grow the things for lasagna.
Which,
and
I was saying, if I could figure out how to grow fresh pasta, I'd be all over that.
Right. Well, you actually have to grow wheat.
Yes. That's too much work.
Exactly.
That's not low maintenance.
No, that's not low maintenance. So lasagna gardening is called lasagna gardening because we're going to build a garden like building the layers of lasagna, but using different ingredients, not tomatoes and pasta.
Right, right.
So, and why it's so much less work is, we'll talk about this more later, but I've been doing this with schools for about 3 years, and I'll just talk about how I create a garden with schools, which is how any of us can create a garden. So we go to a new site on our lawn, on an old garden, on a garden that's infested with quack grass and Creeping Charlie. Instead of tilling, instead of digging things out, instead of spraying with Roundup, what we do is we bring in first a smother layer. And that light, we're not going to smother by lack of oxygen. We're going to smother plants by lack of light. So either old newspaper, 6 to 10 sheets thick, each part, each placement, or I like to use appliance boxes. And by that, I mean stove and refrigerator boxes.
Those big Garber boxes.
The big ones, which have very little ink, very little glue, not a lot of staples, not a lot of tape. So from a clean standpoint, they're about as clean as we can get. And they're going to be basically our Roundup replacement. So we're going to lay those down, overlapping the seams 4 to 6 inches so that no Creeping Charlie, quackgrass can come up through. Then we're going to create the layers of so that's our first layer, and that's the smother layer. Then we're going to create layers on top of that. There's a book published by Rodale called Lasagna Gardening. It was published in 98, and the author's Patricia Lanza. And she talks about a number of different layers, like lasagna. Mm-hmm. So you can use anything that you would use for composting, you can use in a lasagna garden. And I kind of break that into two categories: dead plant material, so leaves, grass clippings, old hay, old straw, sawdust. Those are just some of the top ones that are readily available, as well as, depending on where you are, livestock manures. So just dead plant material and possibly livestock manures. You just start piling those two things together until, now here's the thing that scares people, it needs to initially be 18 to 24 inches deep above the ground.
Mm-hmm. But that's going to come packed.
Absolutely. If you put it together this fall, the winter's going to take care of it. If you put it together spring, summer, you need to, then the next step, once you get it put together, is to water it. Now, if you put it together in the fall, winter's going to take care of that because you're not going to plant until next March, April, May. But if you, and so, but it needs to get rehydrated. When it gets rehydrated, it's going to compact or compress more than 50%. So what started out at 20 inches tall, by the time you're ready to plant it and that it's wet, it's going to be less than 10 inches tall. So it's basically a raised bed.
Right. And also, I mean, the watering is also kind of helps speed up a lot of those processes too, right?
Right. Bacteria and fungi need moisture to grow. And as soon as you get things wet, they take off and start breaking stuff down.
So you start off with this thing that looks kind of funny. I mean, I've seen them. And yeah, it looks somewhere between a trash pile and a not very well-developed compost pile. But then it very quickly, yeah, it turns into this really great material. And then comes, say we start a lasagna bed this fall, come spring, you just plant right into it, right? There's not a whole lot of prep that you do because you did all the prep earlier.
That's it. There's kind of like three rules. You need to do a smother layer. You need to get it that deep to start with. Mm-hmm. And you want the top layer to be something that's coarser. So not shredded leaves or a marsh hay or old hay, or you could even use wood chips as the top layer, a wood mulch.
And why do you want something that's a little coarser?
You want something coarse because seeds need exactly two things at the same time. They need a lot of things to germinate, but these two things they need at the exact same time to trigger germination. And this is how we end up with a weed-free garden, is we look at nature, and then we never let that happen. Mm-hmm. So the two things that seeds need at the exact same time to germinate is they need good soil-to-seed contact. They need some fine particle materials around them to let them absorb enough moisture and not have air space around them so that they can send out that little bitty root to start absorb moisture, send out that little root. So they need good soil to seed contact. The other thing they need at the exact same time is a little bit of light. And we don't always think about that, but basically when seeds to trigger germination, particularly for annuals, you wouldn't want, if you were...
Which all our vegetables pretty much are.
Exactly. Most of our vegetables are annuals. Think about this. Would you plant basil or carrot seeds underneath your rhubarb plant? No.
Right.
Because they're never going to germinate.
They're under a big canopy.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's already competition established in the seeds. I like to give these little dialogues to the seeds, and I think that they're like, oh, there's somebody above me. It's not a good year to grow. And so when we use a coarse mulch as the top layer of the lasagna garden, they will never get enough soil to seed contact to germinate when they have enough light, and the seeds that are deeper down in the lasagna garden may get enough soil to seed contact, but they don't have enough light.
Okay. Okay, so that's actually to combat any weed seeds that made their way into the garden.
Right.
Oh, okay, great.
Yep.
So that's to eliminate the possibility of next spring you're all excited, you've got this great lasagna bed, and all of the same creeping Charlie and quackgrass and everything else is popping up.
Plus lamb's quarters and pigweed and morning glory, all those things.
Yeah.
So because I have some pictures on the Facebook page that I've put up, and the first garden that I really documented well was 30 by 50 or 1,500 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
That garden I put together with really weedy hay. It was cheap or free, and I had less than 5 minutes weeding the entire growing season.
Oh, my gosh.
And not per day, not per week, not per month, the entire growing season.
That's incredible.
Because I looked to nature and what triggers what triggers seed germination. And then I never let those conditions become established.
You interrupt that before it even happens. Wow.
Exactly.
Well, we had an email from Andrea in Madison. She says, I heard Roger last year talk about lasagna gardening and got inspired. I built 4 12-by-4-foot raised beds and had the beds cooking over winter. Happy to report that this was very successful for me this growing season. Highly recommended. I used lasagna gardening in conjunction with the square foot gardening techniques and am quite pleased with the results. And the square foot gardening technique is a small footprint, high yield.
High density.
Yeah. So it seems like, too, if you want to do something like square foot gardening where you're trying to grow more in less space, something like lasagna gardening where it's like you said, really deeply enriched soil would be that sounds like a great matchup.
It works perfectly, and thanks for the feedback. The square foot gardening or intensive gardening, when you have a small garden and you want to get a lot of produce out of it, though you can't get a lot of produce if the plants don't have food. And basically with the lasagna garden, things are growing in a slow compost pile.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is these things, we hear about slow-release fertilizers. Well, slow-release fertilizers are, again, emulating nature. Microbes are slowly breaking down this hay and sawdust and leaves and stuff. And as they slowly break them down, I mean, people, we don't always think about this, but the microbes are the livestock of your soil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's worms and invertebrates, but the microbes are doing, there's a lot more microbes than anybody else, and they excrete.
Mm-hmm.
And we know manure is a good fertilizer.
Right.
And the microbe excretions are good fertilizer too, and they're water soluble already for the plants.
That's interesting because we also had a mulching question, an email from Sandra. I recently heard, maybe on your show, that mulching inhibits bacteria, oxygen, and other good soil processes, and this is not such a good thing for healthy soil. What does Roger say about this?
This is a really common question. We're in all of the things that she mentioned are the biggest time that concern comes up is mulching with leaves, particularly oak leaves or maple leaves. Those leaves that will mat together, mm-hmm. and if they're not shredded, they can create a barrier for oxygen to the soil. And I heard on the show recently somebody talking about that it gets to be an ice barrier in the spring thaw, creates an ice layer there. That's when you're planting in the soil and mulching on top. We are putting all of these items on top of the soil and planting into them.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that some oak leaves or some maple leaves are matted together doesn't matter because they're just holding moisture for some roots to grow between.
Okay.
A different system.
So we really have to change the way we're thinking of the soil.
And that's why I call myself an innovative garden educator, because I'm talking about innovative gardening ways and innovative education. So we've got to kind of flip our brains mm-hmm. 180 degrees.
And it's interesting because we're both thinking forward in new and innovative ways, like you said. But also, like you said, we're looking back to what was working just fine before humans kind of entered the picture.
Exactly.
So it's really taking the best of both.
Absolutely.
It sounds like. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, hosting Garden Talk today for Larry Mueller. My guest is Roger Reynolds. He is, as he said, an innovative garden educator and an expert on all ways to enrich our soils, like mulching, composting, lasagna gardening, and more. We'd love to have you join in. You can call 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Rachel Owens, our on-air producer today, will get those emails and calls to us. And you can also check our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show, and you don't need to be even a member on Facebook to see it, and you don't have to be a fan of the show to see our page, but Roger has put up some really great photos that illustrate a lot of the things we're talking about today, so that might help you get a handle on what we're talking about. Stay tuned. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Roger Reynolds is here with us today to answer your questions about mulching, composting, other sustainable and low-maintenance ways to keep your garden healthy. And we do have some people that would like to join in, Roger. So let's go to the phones and Bob in Wauwatosa. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. I thought I was listening pretty closely, but maybe I just got mixed up along the way. Your guest indicated that seeds need two things, light and contact with soil, and he pointed out that the best way to do that is with fine soil. But I could swear that I heard him say earlier that the top layer needs to be coarse.
Yes, and there's a good reason for that. And it's because it's the seeds you don't want to germinate that are going to be in the coarse soil. So, Roger, why don't you clarify that?
Yep. So you heard everything exactly right. And by coarse, I mean, like I said, old hay, old straw, marsh hay, wood chips, unchopped leaves. But yes, in the lasagna garden, and we have to step back and look at what is all the work that we do within the growing season. Because we're going to do some different kinds of work, but in the total of the growing season, we will have less work. I mean, when I have 1,500 square foot garden in less than 5 minutes weeding all season, that's less work. But we have to do something special when we plant seeds, because the seeds that we want to germinate, we have to give them soil to seed contact. So what we do to plant in the lasagna garden seeds is we make either holes or a little trench 2 to 4 inches, about 2 inches deep. We need to go down to where there's the moist layers of the compost.
So you're going, digging below where that coarse layer is into the next
exactly,
lasagna layer.
Yep. Not down to the soil, but just a couple inches deep. I like to make, go a couple inches deep till I hit moist mulch material. I go 2 to 4 inches wide, so I'll make a little trench, just like you were making a trench in the soil. Then I'll use my hand or a tool and push the bottom of that down just to compact a little bit. Then you take either some of your native soil, compost, a potting soil, a seed starting mix, anything like that, any of these fine particle materials that would be good to germinate seeds. Put it in there about an inch deep, 2 to 4 inches wide, filling in your trench. Now you put your seeds right on top of that like you were planting them in soil normally. Put a little bit more soil on top of that, the depth that they're supposed to be buried. Push the mulch back around. Now those seeds get to germinate, but no other weed seeds in the garden get to.
Does that make some sense, Bob?
I don't understand why the weed seeds will not germinate.
Go ahead, Roger.
If you used your native soil or compost that has some weed seeds right where you made that little trench in row, those weed seeds may germinate. But the rest of the garden with a coarse layer of mulch on top will not germinate. The weed seeds won't germinate because the weed seeds that are in this top layer, it's too coarse that they don't get enough soil to seed contact to trigger germination.
Thanks for that call, Bob, and thanks for that clarification. And Laura in Arpin has a question, too. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I have a very large garden, too. It's over 1,000 square feet, and I've collected all the cardboard and stuff that I need for that smother layer, but I'm intimidated by that 18 to 24 inches of depth. And so I was wondering, if I get this put together this fall, can I use fresh manure, or does that have to be composted already?
Particularly when you're putting it together this fall, you can use fresh manure. Don't do it as the top layer. Do it in the lower layers, and make sure that you don't do 6 inches of pure fresh manure, but put down a couple inches of fresh manure and then some carbon material. If you go to my blog site, which is there's a link on the Facebook page.
And it's infiltratinglandscapes.blogspot.com. But like Roger said, there is a link from the Facebook page.
Go to the, and on there are a number of my handouts. And if you go to the pull down, get yourself the composting handout, you'll see a list of carbon materials. And manure is a high nitrogen material. And so we want to balance that for the microbes and for smell control with the carbon materials. So when we put those down in layers, now that's going to age till next spring. And so by next spring, when you're ready to plant, it's no longer fresh manure, mm-hmm. and it actually has been composting because it's getting mixed by microbes with the carbon and nitrogen and getting more stabilized.
And I think that sometimes we assume that when the cold weather really hits and there's a blanket of snow and maybe some ice, that there's not a lot going on in, say, a compost pile. But actually, it might be slower, but my understanding is that there is still a lot of activity in there.
Yep, yep. Until it freezes, there's a lot still going on.
Great.
I wanted to add one more thing about being intimidated. Which absolutely, 18 to 24 inches. And I'm glad you are intimidated because that means you actually realize that I really meant that and you're not thinking like 4 inches.
Laura, do you feel like you'd be living in a big smelly bunker for a few months?
Well, actually, I just wonder, boy, you know, that's a lot of material and getting...
It is a lot of material for that size.
It's a lot of material. So one of the things that I tell people is, because I know it's intimidating and I want people to be successful, so don't cover your entire garden and then only have enough material to get it 8 inches deep. Start with, and you've got a good thing going on and you got space to work with. But what I tell people is if you just start with something 4 foot by 4 foot, you can get a feel and you can learn and you can make mistakes on a small scale. So whatever material you're able to get, make sure that you get some portion 18 to 24 inches deep rather than doing the whole garden. And getting,
so do it in stages.
Do it in stages. You can do it over a couple years, and you'll learn on a smaller scale.
And, you know, talk about a kind of a control group. You'll see the kind of maintenance you need for the lasagna garden part and what you have to do on the rest of the stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have any other questions about that, Laura?
I did have one follow-up,
sure.
too. We just recently expanded the garden, so now the rhubarb is right in the middle of my garden. So would you guys recommend actually transplanting that out, or would that survive if I did create the lasagna around it?
You got the idea. You can move it if you want to, but you don't have to move it. What you do is you just taper the lasagna depth to the rhubarb, because if you put a smother layer over the rhubarb, your rhubarb's going to die. If you put 18 inches of mulch on top of your rhubarb, it's probably going to die. But you can put the cardboard up close to the rhubarb, mm-hmm. but only do, you know, 3 to 5 inches of mulch close to the rhubarb and then just taper out. And that actually, that's what I love to do, is when we start integrating our perennials and our annuals and our shrubs into what's called edible landscaping, where we actually can start to, you no longer need a tiller, which means you no longer need to plant in rows to accommodate that machine. So we can start to design a garden like any other landscape. We can start to plant clumps and drifts and waves, mm-hmm. and clusters and perennials and annuals all in different ways together. So your what is your food garden becomes an aesthetically designed garden.
Great. Well, Laura, we will expect some good photos from you after you do that massive lasagna garden.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. And let's go actually to Janice in Shiocton. She has a question too. Hi, Janice.
Hi, I'm going to be chipping some pine and spruce branches this fall, and someone told me not to use those chips on my flower beds or in my vegetable garden until next year, and I need to hang up because I'm getting an echo from my cell phone on my radio.
So basically the question is if fresh chipped wood chips are okay or if they need to be aged in some way.
I think she's talking about just putting them around perennials and flowers. So it's kind of a mulching question. Mm-hmm. Those, when you chip those, particularly pine needles, and if there's some leaves and stuff, and if it's green wood, they can heat up. I mean, there's enough nitrogen in there that you might get up to 100, 120 degrees if you put them 6 or 8 inches deep. So what I would do, you can pile them till next spring someplace, mm-hmm. but you also could put them down just 2 or 3 inches deep and not touching the stems of any mm-hmm. woody plants. Mm-hmm. So
you can use them, but you probably want to use less of them and minimize the contact that they have with the actual growing plant. Great. And I just want to let people know if they have a question for Roger, you can call 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Roger Reynolds is an innovative garden educator, and he focuses on sustainable and low-maintenance gardens. And right now, we are talking quite a bit about lasagna gardening, which is a system of soil enrichment above the soil line instead of trying to dig it in. I know it's something that a lot of people are interested in, and a little like our recent caller said, it's a little intimidating, so this is a great opportunity to ask some questions. Lisa in Evansville has a question about lasagna gardening. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
A question and a comment, or two comments. We're in our second year of a lasagna garden, which we're thrilled with because we have quackgrass and creeping Charlie. We didn't prepare our garden right when we started it, and so that was our process. So last year, we listened to Roger at the Garden Expo and came home all excited and did a lasagna on part of it. We have completely controlled the quackgrass and the creeping Charlie, but regarding the woman who called a few minutes ago wondering about her rhubarb, if she has perennial weeds that are creeping in from the edge, to have it in the center of the garden is ideal, because she can control the weeds around the edge a little bit easier. The worst weed problem of all, and the best reason to do this, is to keep out perennial weeds out of your perennial plant, like your raspberries and your strawberries and your asparagus and your, if you can control them from creeping in on the edge, that's just great. And the way Roger explained it to we did that. We went right up to the plants with the cardboard. Actually, the first year we didn't go close enough. So last year we added more, or this year we added more cardboard to smother out the weeds on the edge. Now he's kind of explained that, and we take people through our garden. We're so excited, and we get other people excited about it. But how do we explain to people what we do the second year from now on out? Because people think now that we need to add 24 inches of mulch every year and cardboard for the rest of our life.
And that's a great point, Lisa. And we also had an email, or actually a caller, Judy from Madison, who couldn't stay on, who wanted to know, how does one maintain the lasagna garden? Do you add layers the following year and the year after that?
Lisa, is Lisa still here?
I think so.
Yeah,
Lisa?
Because the lasagna is only the first year. But the second year, you go to the deep mulch system.
Lisa, I wanted to first ask you a question. Isn't it fun to have a quackgrass-free garden?
It is. You know, it just got worse and worse, and I kept telling, I was actually using a deep mulch the best I could, in previous years, and then finally about 3 years, actually it was 3 years ago, just before we heard you at Garden Expo, my husband didn't get me any mulch, and so I just walked away from the garden, and by the end of the year, he went out there one day in the fall, and he weeded all day. And we couldn't find the plants anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly those perennial weeds and annual weeds can just completely take over a backyard or a garden.
Yeah.
But annual weeds don't scare me at all.
It's the perennial.
It's the perennial. And the curly dock and the dandelions. The perennial weeds,
Now they're all gone. So on to what do you do the next year?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go on with this? So it depends. Then it depends on what your soil is like. The Ruth Stout method, which is back to the 70s and late 60s when she wrote her books, is about where you just have 4 to 8 inches of mulch on top of your soil and you plant through it. That's one option. So basically, at the point that you've done 1 year, and really that smother layer should just be the first year, unless you have creeping Charlie or quackers or something coming in the edges. You need to watch the margins. But if you did it right, you should have your center, your main garden, other than the edges, should be completely perennial weed free. So at that point, you then think about, do I have sand? Which I'm on 160 feet deep sand.
You've got lots of sand.
There's no nutrient value. There's no water holding ability in that sand. One of the gardens I put up on the Facebook page, pictures from Seneca, Wisconsin, they're on subsoil clay. It's beside the athletic field at the school, and that clay is full of shale. You couldn't even till this soil, and if you did, you would just make bricks with pieces of rock in it. So when you think about your soil, are you one of those people with good soil, or do you have really kind of bad soil, rocks, clay, sand, whatever. Then you decide, am I going to keep doing lasagna garden, or am I going to go to just kind of a mulch garden on top of my soil? Either one is fine. It really kind of depends on your natural situation. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to continue lasagna gardening, you don't need to do a smother layer again. You just need to bring that mulch up 18 to 24 inches deep in the fall.
So you're always tapping it up.
You are always topping it up if you're going to keep doing lasagna garden. Now, again, I like to go, we have to step back and look at the whole work of the whole, all of the work of the whole year. There's the garden cleanup. The good gardeners would be hauling all of their plant debris out to the compost pile or to the curb in garbage bags. Then they would be tilling and maybe putting in a cover crop, maybe not. But at least the good gardeners follow the recommendations to clean up the garden in the fall. Well, instead of doing that work, the way that I put the garden to bed is you just knock down all of your plant material. I don't worry about if it had disease or not. I just knock it all down, and I'm going to put, you know, basically from the soil surface. Now, what started out in the fall or spring before, 18 or 24 inches, then got down to 8 to 10 inches, is now down to maybe 3 to 4 inches deep. So I'm going to knock down all of my this season's growth. Then I'm going to bring in, from the soil surface, we need to get it back to 18 inches mm-hmm. deep. So I'm going to bring in, you know, roughly a foot, 15 inches of mulch material. I'm going to bury all of this year's disease and pest problems under a foot of mulch.
And are we going to bury weeds there too? Is that okay? Because not that I'm talking about myself, of course, but hypothetically, if someone had parts of the garden that had kind of been taken over and not kept up, and there are some pretty large and leafy weeds out there, that can be one of the layers because it's just going to break down anyway, exactly. Like any other plant material.
Yep. I differentiate between perennial and annual weeds.
Okay.
Because those perennial weeds, they can come up through dock or dandelion, stinging nettle, quackgrass, creeping charlie. But as long as those were annual weeds that maybe maple seeds and elm seeds, which will almost germinate on the sidewalk. You've got to watch those in the spring if you have those trees nearby. So I'd pull those out. But if you had some annual weeds that germinated in the soil you used to plant your beet seeds or your mm-hmm. lettuce, you can just bury those because they're going to die anyway.
They're going to die anyway. Okay. Wow. That sounds very promising for it sounds like I have a lot more plant matter than I thought I did to make use of. Yep. Lisa, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, we're just having a discussion on how much mulch, how much we're going to have to put on this fall. So you are still recommending 18 inches this fall, but then next spring, that'll be down a little bit. How much should we put on next spring? How much should we try to maintain?
You don't have to put stuff on spring and fall. It's really, you know, by the time you plant, you should have built it up and mm-hmm. then it'll be compressed down. So if you build it up to 18 inches this fall, you don't need to add anything next spring. You just start planting.
All right. Great. Thanks so much for giving us your perspective on having done it, Lisa. That was really helpful. Sarah in Zion, Illinois has a question about a different kind of smother layer. Hi, Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work on organic farms a long time ago, and I think they still do this because I've read about it, but they really relied on black plastic to keep weeds down and warm up the soil. And so it sounds like what you're saying is that that's really bad for the soil. And I'm just wondering then, do they know that? And is there, like, are there commercially viable alternatives for them?
Thanks, Sarah.
Good question. The problem with lasagna gardening, or a limitation, and I have a couple friends, and I have one friend out by Dodgeville who is an organic CSA farmer, and how to scale this up. I have not figured out an answer.
Even for our caller earlier that had, about 1,000 square feet, that's a lot for a home garden.
Right, that is. My garden, my backyard garden now is roughly around 3,000 square feet, and this year I brought in 20 big round hay bales, and I used them all.
Wow.
Okay, so
that's a lot of hay.
That's a lot of hay, right. So, but I don't have a tiller. My main two garden tools are a pitchfork and a hoe, or not a hoe, an old stick that I use to make holes to plant stuff. That's it. So back to the black plastic. It's all of life is a matter of trade-offs, and for an organic farm to not have to use Roundup and not be spraying weeds and not be tilling as much, their trade-off is they use black plastic. Yes, and then they always put a water tube underneath there so they can deliver water and possibly organic nutrients through the growing season. So is it it's not as healthy for the soil as having the soil mulched, but for our environment, it's not as toxic or as poisoning as so much tilling and Roundup and other things like that. So it's in the middle.
Great. Did that answer your question, Sarah?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Right. Thanks so much for joining in. Anita in Argyle has a question. Hi, Anita.
Hi. I have a question, but first I want to start. I mean, there was a program on last year about lasagna gardening, and so last fall I was going to start this process, and I'm not sure how large the garden is, maybe 8 feet by 8 feet or something like that. So I had cardboard for part of it, and then I put newspaper on the rest because I didn't have cardboard, and then I put like a layer of leaves down, maple leaves, Norway maple leaves, and then I put down grass clippings. And I intended to put more, but then I never got around to it. And then this spring, even though I intended to plant a garden, I mean, because my mother had always done it, you know, before with me helping her, but she died this last spring. So I never got around to actually getting any garden in. So, and I'm not sure I had really 18 to 24 inches last fall. But anyway, I mean, there's some weeds creeping in around the side. But I guess really my question was, I mean, when I was going to plant, you know, I was thinking, well, some things I was going to plant from seed, but we had always done the tomatoes with, you know, little tomato seedlings. And then how do I plant those into the garden then?
So basically, Anita, you're wondering how to use seedlings instead of seeds.
Yeah.
Great question. That's the other question and the part of planting. And planting plants is so easy because you just treat the lasagna bed like soil. So you dig a hole 2 to 5, 6 inches deep, depending on what you're planting, how tall or long the plant is, where its root ball is. As long as you get down to where the composting, the composting mulch or the materials of the lasagna bed, as long as you get down to where they're moist, you just stick the plant in the hole. So you dig that hole down to where it's moist, stick the plant in just like you're sticking it in soil. Push the mulch back around it, put a little water on it, and it's planted. Now, the great thing about a lasagna garden is that plant almost doesn't even ever wilt.
Wow. Oh, because there's so much water retention.
The water's available, and I think it really has something to do with bare soil heats up and reflects heat, and the lasagna garden doesn't do the same mm-hmm. with the heat at retention stuff.
So it sounds like lasagna gardening is great for pretty much any kind of crop, but especially those really heavy feeders and the plants that really need a lot of water, especially during their productive phase.
Yes. Yep. And I typically end up with 8 to 10 foot tall tomatoes that don't wilt on 95 degree days.
And actually, if folks want to see proof of that, Roger put up a great picture on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. There's a photo of Roger in the garden. He's labeled as a 5'9" gardener, and behind him are 6 foot tall tomatoes, a 3 foot tall tomato in front of him, and a little note that says no weeds around the rest of it. So you can see exactly what that looks like. From all appearances, it works very well. Anita, thanks for that call. Let's go to Ron in Blooming Grove. Hi, Ron.
I have a few ideas for increasing the water infiltration from snowmelt and from rainwater, whether a person's using a lasagna garden or other techniques.
Great.
One is to plow the soil on the contour so that you have ridges like they make to put under the septic tank mound systems. You have ridges that are perfectly level and parallel, so they hold the water right there until it soaks in. The person you mentioned that had the clay with a lot of shale fragments in it could use some of your sand where you have sand and nothing else. One idea is to auger, once you get the contours, ridges, in the troughs, to auger holes that may be 2 inches or up to 6 inches in diameter, to auger a hole down a foot or two, and to fill that with sand or even fine gravel so that the water gets down and infiltrates sideways, not just at the surface that could be puddled. And a question about equipment that might be available is, I know people who go ice fishing use an auger to drill through 12 or 14 inches of ice. Is that equipment strong enough to drill into a clay surface soil?
Thanks for that call, Ron. Now, Roger, my understanding is that one of the goals of lasagna gardening is to not be tilling.
Right. You never till again.
Okay.
Yeah. The caller brought up a couple things that I will talk about. The water infiltrates, water soaks into the lasagna garden when it rains really, really well. One of the, I used to work with rain gardens and I still do somewhat. And one of the pieces of information that really impressed me was that of all of the rain that falls on a woodland in 1 year, only about 10% of that ever runs off. And that's because a number of reasons, but this, I think the same is pretty true with the lasagna garden, because there's so much of this sponge there that can hold the water. And then what's happening if it's on clay is the worms are coming to eat from this lasagna garden, because this lasagna garden is basically a big restaurant, mm-hmm. perfectly prepared for worms. And worms, rather than using an ice auger or a drill or a post hole digger, the worms are actually making those tunnels that are vertical tunnels that start to let the water infiltrate, plus it's feeding it. And the typical statement is actually that you don't want to just add sand if you have heavy clay, because basically you make concrete or bricks. So the real way to open up clay soil is adding organic matter. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're doing with a lasagna garden, is we're putting all of this organic matter on top of the soil and letting the worms and nature and beetles and stuff start to integrate them while we're growing on top.
Thanks for that call, Ron. And you can give us a call, too, at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. We're talking about low maintenance and sustainable gardening with Roger Reynolds, innovative garden educator from Lone Rock, Wisconsin. Stay tuned.